time for Coffee with the Chicken Ladies, a podcast for people who love chickens.
Hey, everybody, and welcome. It's Chrissy and Holly from Coffee with the Chicken Ladies. We're here, and this is episode number 120 of our podcast, where we talk about everything chicken, family, fun, and
more chickens.
More chickens. We drink a ton of coffee. I'm talking a ton. But most importantly,
we hug chickens every day.
And we kiss them too. Don't forget. We brew coffee from a little coffee house here in Bel Air, Maryland. Holly Ann, what kind of coffee are we brewing today?
This is Nicaraguan.
So are you ready to sip some coffee and chat?
I am. But first, a word from our sponsor.
We have some exciting news to share from our sponsor, Grubly Farms. This month, you can receive 30% off if you're a first-time buyer.
I'm a longtime subscriber, and my flock love the healthy, nutritious treats.
Orders $40 and more ship free.
If you haven't heard, Grubly's has a fantastic layer pellet and crumble feed. It's packed with plant and insect protein. It's perfect for those picky chickens and ducks.
This offer does not apply to subscriptions and cannot be combined with any other discounts.
It's a great time to try Grubly Farms if you haven't yet. Use the code CWTCL30 for 30% off your first purchase. Try it today. Okay, so what's up? How are you doing?
Not too badly.
It's rainy today. The weather is not so great today. It's not a good chicken weather day.
No.
And we always talk about this, but it does kind of affect your day, whether you put the food under the coops out, whether you're going to be out playing with them or not, or they're going to be hanging out under their coops. I hate rainy days.
I put food in, out, and under.
They went under today.
March weather can really vary. You have some of those absolutely beautiful days, and then you have some of these wet, cold days.
Our friends in Canada, stay safe. This is going to be a little bit after, but Joe was working with someone today also up in Canada. We were talking to Leandra last night,
right. And
they're bracing for 20 to 30 inches of snow,
man,
up there. So
I'd have the sheep in the garage.
I know.
Whoa.
I know. So what else has been going on? Anything good?
We're starting to work on some more outside stuff, gardening, fencing, integrating the youngest Nankin cockerels into the bachelor flock.
Okay. That should go well.
They're so stinking cute.
It seems so real that next month we have new chicks coming. The babies are coming. We're excited for that. And just warm weather and spring, and Easter's around the corner. Hey, here's something about Easter we should put out there for everybody. Go check out Country Living UK.
Right.
We want to thank
the wonderful Sally Coulthard for including us in her April column in Country Living UK.
Thank you. We love it, Sally. Go buy your copy out there. We're so excited to be part of it with her.
And then go buy Sally's book if you haven't already yet, Foul Play, A History of Chickens. It's really one of the best contemporary histories of the chickens that I've ever read.
It's really good. So check out episode 114 when we talk to Sally all about our book and everything else. And check out Country Living UK. We're so excited.
It's such a pretty magazine, especially the April issue. It's filled with like table settings. And there's even a hen on a nest.
On the cover.
On the cover,
with
yeah.
egg cups. So
love that.
We are just so excited to be part of it. And we just wanted to let you know we're in there.
We're in there.
We're in there. And a big shout out to Jennifer Franciotti over at WBAL News in Baltimore. She and her wonderful cameraman came over to visit us in the studio, and they did this awesome story on us. So thank you so much.
That was super nice.
We had a big month.
Yes, we did.
Okay, so if you're listening to our show and you're loving it, head on over to Apple Podcast and leave us a written review. It does amazing things. It's a great way to help support, and we grow a ton. While you're there, hit that subscribe button for two reasons. First is you'll never miss an episode. And the second is it's a really easy way to help us grow.
You can tell a chicken-loving friend or two about the podcast. You can share your favorite episodes on social media. You can visit our Etsy shop, check out the t-shirts and the mugs that we have listed there. You can become a patron of the show at patreon.com/coffeewiththechickenladies. Check out our levels of membership. And the other thing you can do to help support the show is visit our show notes, use our discount codes and affiliate links, and buy products from our sponsors.
Yay!
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Do you like subscription boxes?
Does it have anything to do with chickens?
Of course.
Then yeah. Let me take a minute to tell you about the Chicken Love Box. If you love goodies for your chickens and you need to go to chickenlove.com.
I love the Mega Box. Tons of useful products for my flock and a chicken tea for me.
You can't go wrong with a chicken tea. They are so cute and so soft.
In the February box, I absolutely love the red iron rooster trivet and the seed block.
I really love that egg timer. It's going to be great when I'm baking. And those chicken stickers are going to be awesome on notes I send out.
Boxes start at $39 a month. They ship immediately after your order, and shipping is always free.
Such a great deal. Don't wait. Get off the nest and click already. Use the code CWTCL50 for 50% off your first box of a 3-month subscription or more. That's chickenlove.com. That's chickenluv.com. Get your subscription today.
Have you heard of Strong Animals Chicken Essentials? They make natural supplements for your flock.
Strong Animals has used plant-based products and natural approaches to promote the health and vitality of backyard flocks. Their products contain organic essential oils, prebiotics, and other natural ingredients to support the immune system and digestive health. Give your chicks and chickens what they need to thrive with Strong Animals health products. Visit GetStrongAnimals.com today.
The Breed Spotlight is brought to you by Murray McMurray Hatchery, defining quality for generations. For over a century, Murray McMurray Hatchery has remained a trusted family-owned business, working tirelessly to ensure our poultry meet the highest standards.
Whether you are an experienced enthusiast or just embarking on the journey, look to McMurray Hatchery for guaranteed quality, rare and heritage breeds, low minimums, and all the supplies you need to raise your flock. Request a free catalog today. A little quack quack here and a quack quack there. Quack quack everywhere. It's time for the Breed Spotlight, yeah.
Well, if you haven't guessed yet,
this week's Breed Spotlight is
the Saxony Duck.
Wait a minute. Stop the presses.
Duck.
Did we say duck?
We said duck.
It might be that one special episode where we're going to be ducking it up.
Oh my God.
We're doing ducks today.
Well, we did a heritage turkey breed back at Thanksgiving, and everyone said they loved it, so we are doing ducks this week.
Okay, so let's talk the Saxony duck.
A lot of you may already know more about ducks than we do, because we are hardcore chicken ladies, and that's the truth.
Yes.
Chickens are our first love. It's what we're passionate about.
We're not going to be bringing you all the ins and outs. Later on, we have a special guest. We reached out to a duck friend of ours, so she's going to be in later on to really talk the ins and outs of ducks.
So just a couple of notes about ducks in general. Like chickens, ducks are descendants of dinosaurs.
They have short arms, or they have no arms.
They have no arms, not necessarily the T-Rex. So humans have been keeping ducks for an estimated 4,000 years. I also found some sources that claim it's more like 2,000 years. Nowhere near the 10,000 plus years that we have been keeping chickens. The relatively short time that we have kept them domesticated may be one of the reasons why there are still wild ducks, because there are not wild chickens. There's
exactly.
No such thing as a wild chicken. Do not confuse a feral chicken with a wild chicken.
So let's just kind of clarify that, because a wild chicken is one that was born wild.
Undomesticated animal.
Kind of like the mallards.
Right. Well, the mallards play a huge role in domestic ducks.
Now, when you have feral is a type of animal that is domesticated but has gone back to its wild roots.
Exactly.
So there is a total difference in
those
two things.
You'll see feral cats. You'll see feral chickens. You'll see feral pigs. There are a bunch of different species. So if, like us, you don't know a lot about ducks, we can tell you that duck breeds do appear in the American Poultry Association Standard of Perfection. They have been included since the first printing in 1874, so there are breed standards available if you'd like to start breeding ducks.
So is there a separate category in the book for ducks?
Yeah, the bulk of the book is chickens, and then you'll have the waterfowl. You'll have the ducks and the geese.
And are there turkeys?
Yes, and turkeys.
So that's a poultry versus a waterfowl.
APA, American Poultry Association. Yeah.
Exactly.
I love the turkey drawings in there. They're my favorite.
You know, I keep saying.
Love me some turkeys.
Penny over at Happy Days Farm says she wants to send you some duckies.
Oh, she has those beautiful royal palm turkeys. But this is a duck episode and we digress. The beautiful Saxony duck is considered one of the heavy duck breeds. They were developed in Germany as a dual-purpose breed, and the hens are very good layers.
Everybody says those eggs are very rich and very good for baking. But Holly Ann says her chicken eggs are good too.
Actually, I was thinking about that today, and it could be that the different fat content in the duck eggs works a little differently with my gluten-free ingredients
Maybe.
Than my chicken eggs do. I've developed all my recipes with chicken eggs. So
yeah.
Anyway, I do like eating duck eggs. They're delicious. The Saxony were around for decades before they were finally accepted into the APA Standard of Perfection in 2000.
That's not that far back. 2000, man.
Well, like I said, they've been around for decades. They are considered a heritage breed, and the Saxony is listed in the threatened category of the Livestock Conservancy's conservation priority list.
That's an oh no.
Most of the duck breeds are.
It's sad. Most of the chicken breeds are too. Who are we kidding?
Exactly.
There's not like a category of excelling for right? the chicken breeds.
Yeah. So let's talk about their appearance. Like a lot of the domestic duck breeds, the Saxony's feathers display the mallard pattern.
They do. If you don't know what we're talking about, look them up now. And the first thing you're going to say is, it reminds me of a very tall mallard.
Right. So if you look at this duck, you'll see that they have the same marking as the mallard feathers, but it's in different colors.
They're different colors and they're taller.
Yeah.
The mallards are low to the ground.
Right. And the Saxony is a bit of a taller bird.
Exactly. But when you look at them, you're like, ah, oh, it kind of reminds me.
The interesting thing about the Saxony, I thought, is that as far as the heavy breeds go, the heavy duck breeds, they're on the smaller appearance side.
Right.
But they're just very compact because they are a heavy duck.
I can see hugging your duck. I mean, that's a big duck to hug.
Oh, yeah. Our upcoming guest has had a Saxony duck custard. And I've seen photos of Custard's wingspan.
Oh, yeah.
It's impressive. So the Saxony's color variety is known as buff blue mallard.
That sounds pretty.
It's very pretty. The Drakes have a silver blue head and a white neck ring, and they have a reddish chestnut colored breast. The duck is a beautiful light buff color, like a creamy color.
I was going to say, they're classified as buff. They look like in between, like a light tan. It's not yellowy.
Right. It's not a golden buff.
No.
It's more of a creamy colored buff.
It's like a very light tan, cream colored duck.
Yeah. And the ducks have two white stripes on each side of the face that are above and below her eyes.
They're very beautiful.
Pretty eyeliner.
Very, very beautiful.
Both Drakes and ducks have a yellow bill, and they have orangey yellow legs and feet.
That are webbed, because every duck has webbed
feet. That's right. And like I said, they're heavy, compact ducks.
Okay, so let's look at the size. So the Drakes are between 8 and 9 pounds. When you think about that, that's pretty large.
That's a big duck.
And the ducks are 7 to 8 pounds, so they're not far behind their male counterparts.
Yeah.
You have to have accommodations for these ducks. That's going to give them enough room. And we're going to get into all that with our guest in a little while, but they're big ducks. So you have to make sure you have the right accommodations for them.
In the late 1920s and early 1930s, there was a breeder named Alfred Franz, and he was from Chemnitz, Germany. And he was working on the development of the Saxony duck.
Okay.
Now, Chemnitz is one of the largest cities in the state of Saxony in East Germany.
So here we go back to geographical naming.
Exactly. That's where the breed gets its name. The foundational breeds that Franz used are supposed to be the German Pekin, the Blue Pomeranian, and the French Rouen duck.
There's a lot of crossbreeding going on to get these ducks, too.
Yeah.
Not that much different than the chicken world.
Oh, no, not at all, no. So Franz debuted his breed at the Saxony County Show in 1934, and it showed a very promising personality. It's a beautiful duck. But then World War II happened.
Dun, 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 dun.
Well,
it's not good.
It's not. And Germany was right in the middle of it, as we all know. And the Saxony duck was practically wiped out.
We are really trying to bring these animals back.
Well, I'll tell you what saved them. The breed is still with us because after the Second World War, I haven't had a chance to do this research in depth, but I did read this on a breeder's page. Allegedly, Albert Franz was released from a prisoner of war camp.
Okay.
And he returned home to revive his breeding program behind the Iron Curtain because he was in East Germany.
Right.
And he did start conservation breeding for his own breed.
Thank God he was released because we wouldn't be looking at this stuff.
I'm sure the breeder that I got this from, they know what they're talking about, but I really want to know the story behind this. I don't know if I ever will.
Right.
One of these days, if I have extra time, I may go look into Albert Franz. So the Saxony slowly grew in numbers, and by the 1990s, it had become fairly popular in its native Germany, though they are rarer now.
Right.
I couldn't find any exact stats, however. Sometimes it's hard to find some of the numbers for the European breeds.
That, and it's going to be harder for ducks versus chickens. Honestly, I don't want to say that, but chickens are more popular than ducks. They always have been.
I've read an anecdote somewhere, and this is another one I haven't substantiated, so it's just an anecdote. It was about why chickens became more popular than ducks on a small farm or in a homestead.
Okay.
So back in 1957, the Saxony duck was officially recognized by the East German Poultry Association. And then the next year, 1958, it was recognized by the West German Poultry Association.
Okay.
Here's where they show up for us. In 1984, noted poultry breeder David Holderried, the author of Story's Guide to Raising Ducks, which is really a good book, he imported the Saxony to the U.S. His farm was in Oregon.
Okay.
We've linked to the website of Holder Reed Farm in the show notes because there's a ton of good information about domestic waterfowl there. But just a note, Dave Holder Reed is retiring from breeding after an amazing 60-year-long career.
Wow. Now that's dedication to breeding.
Seriously. So it's worth looking at the website. And again, he was the importer of the Saxony.
Right.
But yeah, all you're going to get there is information, not breeding stock.
Exactly. So let's take a look at those layer stats and how much different they're going to be than our chicken. So the Saxony, they're pretty good layers and they're going to lay you large white or blue-green eggs. You say, huh? Ducks are different.
Right.
So you're not going to know what color egg they're going to lay until they lay their first egg.
My understanding is that all ducks carry a gene for a blue-green egg.
Yeah.
So I saw some really widely varying stats on this. One source had a very conservative 100 eggs per year, but then the other sources I saw were 180 to 240 eggs per year.
I've heard both things, actually.
Uh-huh.
You hear this, okay, ducks don't lay as much as chickens. I think that is true.
It is true. And I think for some of the breeds, 100 eggs a year is right, and it's really good. But my understanding is that the Saxony is probably closer to that 180,
right.
200, 240.
And here's the other thing. This egg that you're going to get is much larger.
Yeah.
It's a different type of egg. The ratio from yolk to white is different.
Right.
It's a much richer egg. So learning to cook with these eggs will be an experience. You're going to have to experiment with them.
I really think they're delicious, honestly.
Yeah, they give you some of the best cakes ever. So they are known to lay through the winter. Here's another good thing.
Yeah.
They actually are known to like winter and
yes.
like being out in the snow and different things like that.
And if they don't like it, they tolerate it very well.
Yeah, and they're one of the better breeds for egg production. So if you're looking for a duck to add that's going to give you more rather than less eggs, a Saxony may be the duck for you.
Yeah.
Some sources say that sometimes they may go broody for you.
Yeah, it seems like most duck breeds don't go broody. The Saxony might, but don't count on it.
And otherwise, you're going to need an incubator.
Or a broody hen.
Right. A chicken to sit on your duck eggs.
And you probably want a big hen.
Because they're big eggs.
So you're talking Orpington, Brahma, Cochin. You're talking,
exactly.
You want the big girls to sit on
so
these eggs.
So if you want to hatch some duck eggs, you're going to need some chickens incubator.
You could use a Nankin hen, but she could maybe cover one egg.
Okay. So let's go over some jobs that they might have.
They are surprisingly good at a lot of things. The Livestock Conservancy notes that the Saxony is a good duck breed for beginners, which is great to know.
Yeah.
They have a reputation for being very friendly and very hardy, like health-wise.
That and then hardy for weather.
They tolerate cold very well, but they are slow growers, so that's something to remember.
Well, yeah, they're a heritage breed.
Right.
So in every heritage breed, you're not going to get a chick and 6 weeks later have an egg.
Yeah.
You know, so that's one thing that you have to remember. And they do like to forage.
So like all ducks, they do need a water supply.
Definitely. And here's the kicker. Smaller is sometimes better. So a kiddie pool is perfect.
Yeah.
Or one of those built-in ponds that you can make into your garden.
I guess you could use one of those big galvanized tubs.
Or that as they grow, you expand it. Sometimes the big pond is not going to be good because try getting a duck off the pond.
Then you've got turtles and you've got all of those things. And I would imagine something like a kiddie pool, you can dump and scrub that every day easily enough.
Exactly.
Because cleanliness is important. Even though they're not chickens, they travel in a different way and they forage in a different way. You do need to protect them from predators because everything wants to eat duck.
And here's the thing. They like being on the ground.
Yeah.
They are not a big pickup kind of animal. So if you hug them, you may have to sit and kind of hug them that way. And they don't really fly too much when you have the bigger ducks.
Oh, no. Certainly not this breed. They're also on the noisier side.
Which we love.
I know, right?
But look at your neighborhood laws and your ordinances and make sure that you're allowed to have them. Again, I don't understand why everyone has a big thing with roosters crowing and ducks quacking. They're just happy noises.
I think so, too.
You noted this. They're a great source of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium.
Yeah, so duck manure and
right?
even duck water from the pools can be a great addition to garden fertilizing and composting.
So permaculture.
Right, exactly.
And we're talking a lot about that these days because this is their work for you.
Right. They're also good for pest control. They love to forage for bugs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just might want to make sure they're not in your garden patch with your beneficial bugs. But
right, and you don't want to free range alone. This is one of the number one things we can tell you. They are not savvy when it comes to predators.
I mean, my understanding is they'll eat a lot of slugs and snails, you know, the things that will destroy your vegetable crops and your garden.
Get in there.
I think it would be super cool to set up a homestead permaculture system with ducks in there.
So about 5-6 years ago, I said to Joe, I want to add ducks.
I remember this.
And Joe was like, no, we're set up for chickens. You know, but I was like, no, I think ducks would be great.
Oh, ducks are another rabbit hole.
I know. Ooh.
And
ooh.
Pete always says, and it's true, ducklings are the cutest.
They are the cutest.
They're so cute.
Listen in, because in our main topic with our special guest, we're going to be talking all about how you care for them.
Right.
So let's tell everybody where you can find ducks.
You can buy sexed Saxony ducklings from McMurray Hatchery.
And one of the other big time farms for waterfowl is Metzer Farms.
Yep.
The one thing is, I just looked up availability, and they don't have any right
They're
now.
They're sold out
They're
right
sold
now.
They're sold out of the Saxony.
Yeah.
McMurray Hatchery, you have to check over there.
I'm not sure whether they have them or not.
But Metzer, the hatchery, is known for waterfowl.
Right, right.
And they have a lot of really good education on their website. I've actually called them. When I looked in and started doing all the research, I called them.
In fact, I think it was Metzer Farm that had that note about Franz being released from the prisoner of war camp.
Probably.
I don't have the David Holderid book, the Stories Guide to Raising Ducks.
Yeah.
He might have noted it in there. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of fascinating. History can be fun when you learn.
Well, yeah.
Well, we say it all the time, how things came about. If this man was not released from prisoner of war camp, this bird may not be with us right now.
It may have disappeared entirely. It's
true. It may have disappeared.
Or if he had been killed in the war.
Exactly.
Anything like that. Yeah.
One man's love saved this entire heritage breed of duck. This is a more popular homestead duck.
It is. And, you know, the other place you can check for breeding stock is the Livestock Conservancy's breeder directory. You can see if there's anyone local to you if you don't want to go through a hatchery.
And again, veterinary care is available for ducks and out there.
Dr. Rebecca sees ducks all the time.
She sees ducks all the time.
My understanding is that ducks are quite healthy. They can get bumblefoot because their feet are soft and often wet and will occasionally have leg disorders. But in general, ducks are known to be very healthy.
She always talks about how hardy they are and that most of the time she sees them, it's predator attack or something like that.
Again, you have got to guard your ducks from predators.
Yeah. Honestly, I think they're even more susceptible than chickens.
Well, they can't run very quickly. The heavy breeds don't fly. So I had a lot of fun doing this breed spotlight. I thought this was really a fascinating breed.
It's definitely fascinating. Should we add ducks? You guys tell us. Send us some messages.
We'll see.
If you're looking for a chicken coop that's produced in a planet-friendly, sustainable way, try Nestera.
Each coop is made from highly durable, 100% recycled plastic that keeps the equivalent of up to 2,000 shampoo bottles out of a landfill.
Their clean, modern design will fit into any garden or run area and comes with an industry-beating 25-year warranty and a range of handy accessories.
Simple to put together, so quick and easy to clean, and most importantly, red mite resistant. Your chickens will love it.
Quick shipping from Amazon.com or Nestera.us.
Use the code CWTCL5 for 5% off.
Check them out today.
Roosties proudly sponsors Coffee with the Chicken Ladies.
We personally use Roosties products with our chickens, and we're huge fans.
They have their awesome nesting pads, do-it-yourself feeder and waterer kits, and they've just released their best product ever, a new chick feeder and waterer set.
They have adjustable legs to keep food and water clean. They're super well made, and the feeder even has a removable lid so it can easily be filled from the top.
So if you're raising chicks or keeping chickens, all their products are available for prime delivery on Amazon.com.
Check out the Roosty store on Amazon or follow the link in our show notes.
Okay, so what we're going to do is move into main topic. Yeah. This week, we are welcoming somebody who really loves ducks a lot. And she is kind of the duck expert out there.
Absolutely. She's written many books, but one of her early titles, Duck Eggs Daily, is really a fantastic guide. It was my introduction to duck care.
Yeah.
It's really a fantastic guide to keeping ducks.
And the three of us sat down and had a nice round table, and she was telling us all the ins and outs.
Answering all the questions that you might have about adding ducks to your flock.
Here's our interview with Lisa Steele. Enjoy.
Lisa, welcome back to the show.
Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
So you are essentially the duck expert.
Yeah, but, you know, ducks have played second fiddle to chickens for years. So I think it's time to really put the spotlight on ducks and get more people interested in them.
Absolutely. And frankly, there is nothing cuter than a duckling. I mean, they are ridiculous.
That's what we always say. They're so cute. And we always say that if done correctly, both chickens and ducks can kind of live a peaceful life together. And you can have the benefit of both chicken eggs and those huge duck eggs that will come out. So let's just talk about ducks from start to finish.
Sure. Absolutely.
So how do you go about picking your duck breeds?
Ducks are interesting because they all descended from the mallard. So they all have a common ancestor, and I find their temperaments all to be pretty similar. You know, when you raise chickens, you find out really quickly that the different breeds have very different temperaments, different personalities. Ducks are very similar. The larger breeds tend to be a little bit calmer and slower moving, and the smaller breeds tend to be a little more active. But for the most part, ducks are very similar in temperament. So it really comes down to the look of the duck that you like. Like a D'Ancona, I think, are beautiful. They're black and white spotted. And each one is a little different. So those are very unique. Whereas a duck like the Saxony, they're all going to look exactly the same. So it just kind of comes down to personal preference, what appeals to you.
Are some of them larger and smaller in the end game when you're building housing? Do you have to make accommodations for that also?
Not so much. I'd say the duck house or coop or whatever you're going to have them sleep in, the floor space is a little more important. You know, I never understood when people were talking about coop space, they talk about floor space, but chickens don't sleep on the floor. They sleep on roosting bars. So right. To me, it was the roosting bar space that you really should be cognizant of when you're deciding how many chickens you're going to have in your coop. But for ducks, they do sleep on the floor. So you want to make sure that in your house, wherever they're sleeping, you've got at least 3 or 4 square feet per duck, because they actually are going to be sleeping on the floor.
I'm always like, why don't the chickens sleep on the floor? It would be more comfortable, but they want to roost. The ducks have it right.
Once you've decided your breed, is there an ideal number of ducks to have in your flock?
There are some guidelines. So if you just want a small flock, a pair, you know, a male and a female would be good. If you don't care about the eggs, 2 males would be great, or you could have 2 females. If you're going to go for 3, you want to have either 3 females or a male and 2 females. You really don't want more than 1 drake if you have a bunch of girls, because drakes are super aggressive during mating season and they're going to fight even more than roosters. So same with the chicken flock. You don't need a rooster to have eggs. You don't need a drake to have duck eggs. So if you have, you know, an all female flock, that's fine. But I'd say, you know, either 2 or 3 is a great flock size, or 5 or 6. Like, you might have a small chicken flock of 5 or 6. And in that case, again, 1 drake and the rest girls or all girls. And then you fall in love with ducks and you have 35 of them.
That's good to know, because that was going to be one of my questions. We all are aware of roosters and how they play in the flock dynamic. And it sounds like ducks are exactly the same way. So we have to make sure we have the right number of girls to boys and all that fun drama that goes with it.
Years ago, I looked into the blue and the black Swedish ducks because I think they're just stunning, but I can't remember. Can you get them sexed, or do you have to get them all straight run?
You can get them sexed. And in fact, I had a friend who used to breed Anconas, and she taught me how to sex the ducklings. It's all internal, you know, like with a chicken. But ducks actually are a little bit easier. Metzer Farms actually has a great YouTube video that walks you through the whole process. I wasn't great at it. I wouldn't say that I was very accurate at it. But supposedly ducklings are a lot easier for the professionals to sex even than chicks. So you absolutely can get sex ducklings.
Oh, wow. That's great to know.
I like that you, again, have that choice. And they're not going to be crowing like the roosters.
Right.
So, I mean, you don't have to worry about the sound ordinance in your neighborhood or anything with that. So that's also good. So what would be one of your favorite breeds for a beginner to get for ducks?
So as we talked about before we started, I love all the breeds, and it's not really fair of me to pick a favorite. But, you know, in your larger duck breed category, you've got your Pekins, which are the big white ones. You've got your Silver Appleyards. Saxonies, I think, are the most beautiful breed. They're kind of a salmon color with like white eyeliner. Cayugas that lay the charcoal gray.
Oh yeah, they're pretty.
Yeah, and those are kind of like all the larger breeds. And I have some of those and they all stick together. And then I have some of the smaller breeds that are a lot more active. So your Indian Runners, your Anconas, your Magpies, they are always off on a mission, going somewhere, getting into trouble, so mischievous. Whereas the larger ones are more up to just kind of sit around the pool, chill. So it depends on what kind of energy level flock you want.
Was your duck Custard a Saxony?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What a gorgeous duck.
the magpie, my goddaughter, her middle name's Magnolia. So since before birth, I've called her Magpie. And I'm like, it would only be fitting that I would get magpies in the duck family.
They're also beautiful.
They're so
beautiful.
Yeah,
they are really pretty. One thing interesting about ducks is that unlike chickens within a breed, ducks lay different colors. So ducks either lay white or like bluish green eggs, other than the Cayuga, which lays the charcoal. So you could have two magpies and one might lay green eggs and one might lay white eggs.
Oh, wow.
And it doesn't matter what color egg they hatch out of. So a magpie that hatches out of a blue egg won't necessarily lay a blue egg. The Messier site is the best if you want ducks, but they have a breed chart with the probability within each breed of the duck laying a blue egg. Like a Pekin is almost 0%. Like Pekins lay white eggs. But when you get to the runners and some of the other breeds, you have a better probability that some of them will lay the blue green egg.
Wow, that is super cool.
That's really fascinating. I had no idea. And that's why we have Lisa on here today to talk about this stuff. It's really cool for our listeners to hear this stuff, and especially somebody who may be on the fence about getting some ducks.
Right.
So let's start with, you go to your hatchery and you get ducklings. What kind of brooder setup? Is it different than chickens? Let's break down the brooder setup and what we need to do.
Sure. I learned early on, I did try once to brood chicks and ducklings together. I got them the same day, put them in the brooder. Does not work at all.
Okay.
Ducklings are more, I guess you'd call it not really cold hardy, but they don't need as much heat. So you start them at 90 degrees when they're day old, and you drop that temperature 7 degrees a week. So with chicks, you start at 95 and you drop it 5 degrees. It doesn't seem like a big difference, but if you do that math 4 or 5 weeks,
it's
way different. Plus the ducks, they're ducks. They love to be wet. So my poor baby chicks were just soaking wet all the time.
Man.
So I had to separate them. Yeah, it wasn't good. It wasn't good at all. We ended up, the best brooder that I found for ducklings is a spare bathtub. And I would just put rubber shelf liner down so they wouldn't slip and slide. And then just put their water at the drain end, you know, their food and water, put the heat lamp at the other end, and just brood them in the bathtub.
That's my question.
Great idea.
So do they need water in there from a day old, like to be able to get in the water? They need like a little Barbie pool or something in there.
They do need a little deeper water. So they clean their nostrils by putting them in the water. So however big your little duck's bill is, you want to make sure that they have water deep enough that they can dump their heads or their nostrils. You know, a big worry when you have baby chicks is that they're going to drown. So you want something with jelly. You want to put the stones or the marbles in it. Not so with ducks. So even, you know, little baby ducklings, I'll put like a little Tupperware full of water or a little cake pan. A lot of people will use those paint trays that have it's almost like a pool with like the shallow end.
I love that.
And it gets
deeper. It's
going
to deepen,
That's cool.
So until ducklings are about a month old from the hatchery, they're not raised under a mother duck. So from the hatchery, they're not waterproof until they're about a month old.
Okay.
So they actually can drown. So you don't want to just toss them into a tub of water and walk away. Like you have to watch them, but giving them pool time is really important because when they get out of the water, back under the heat, you know, you towel dry them, they start preening and they activate that preen gland, which is what waterproofs them. So you really do want to give them supervised short swims in warm water. If they hatch under a mother duck, she will do that for them. So like out in the wild, she waterproofs her ducklings right from the start. And that's why you see the mother duck with the babies in the pond just bobbing around. But hatched in an incubator, they're not going to have that waterproofing. So you have to, you know, be careful that they don't get chilled or don't drown the first couple of weeks. But after that,
they seem like they're a little more intense. Like you have a few more things that you're going to be doing in their first few days and few weeks. When the chicks come, you want to make sure they're warm enough, eating, drinking, happy, healthy, but you're not worrying about those other things. So it seems like they're a little more involved.
I guess the brooding stage can be also ducks choke really easily. So it's really important that anytime they have feed, they have water. So you have to be on top of the duck's water in the brooder. If you're not going to be home for a while, I might even pick up the food because you don't want them to run out of water. They also learn really quickly to empty those gravity waterers. Huh. I had one of those hanging in the run for our chickens and ducks years ago, and the ducks figured out really quickly how to empty it and make a mud puddle underneath.
Oh, man.
So we just use tubs. We use like the black rubber tubs from the feed store.
I like your idea. Go to the salvage yard. If you're going to make ducks your thing, get an old bathtub. I like that idea.
Yeah. Some of those
for the brooders.
Some of those old cast iron bathtubs would be great, I guess.
Yeah.
So I want to go back to brooding for a second because you made me wonder, how does waterproofing work if, say, you use a Cochin hen to hatch your ducks?
So she probably would not. So you would have to treat them as if they were hatched in an incubator.
Okay.
And they're going to be in whatever water you give them. Like, there's no way to keep the ducks out of the water. You can give them the tiniest little water bowl and someone's going to be sitting in it. They're just wet all the time. You know, so you just have to make sure they have the heat lamp so they can dry off. But that really is good for them because they spend a lot of time preening and they just know, got to get that preen gland going.
Okay, that's great. It's an instinctive action for them.
So let's talk about feeding the ducks. Someone who's raised chickens before, they're introducing ducks. And we've talked to our veterinarian, Dr. Rebecca. She has some people come into her that want to feed the ducklings chick food. You can't do that, correct?
Well, you actually can. So we've raised chickens and ducks together for like 14 years. Our oldest duck, Gregory, was 12. So you can feed them chick feed, but it should be unmedicated. Ducks don't really get coccidiosis or really anything. They're super hardy. So you want the non-medicated chick feed. You do need to add niacin to it because
that's
ducks have much higher niacin requirements. So yeah, the regular feed will work just fine. You have to add niacin. I add brewer's yeast to it. I add that right through life. The niacin is water soluble, so they don't store it up in their body. So they need a steady supply. It's also really great for chickens. So I just add the brewer's yeast and garlic to my chicken and duck food every day. The ducklings, they can start on the chick feed with the niacin, but I only do it for 2 weeks. Ducks grow really, really fast and you want to get them off that high protein chick feed pretty quickly. So you don't do the 8 weeks that you do for the chicks. I do 2 weeks and then I put them on the grower, which is a lower protein level. I also add oats to their feed. You can go like up to 25% because you really want to bring that protein level down.
Yeah.
Ducks get so heavy so fast that it's really hard on their legs. So I really try to almost like stunt their growth and make them grow slower. Yeah. And then I put them on the layer, you know, when they're about to lay, which is about 18 or 20 weeks, same as chickens. But that way, if you're adding ducks to your flock, you don't have to worry about separate feed. They do sell waterfowl feed. But A, it's hard to find. B, it's expensive. And C, if you have chickens, you're going to have to separate everybody at feeding time and it's just going to be a mess. So as long as you're adding that niacin, I also give my ducks peas a lot. Peas are super high in niacin, which they love. There's some other foods that have the niacin in them. And you can always watch. You know, a lot of people will email me and didn't know. They're just feeding their ducks chick feed. And they're saying, you know, my ducklings aren't standing up. It seems like their legs are wobbly. And then I figure that they're not getting what they need because the niacin helps with their bone and leg structure.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely need that niacin. That's a different requirement than chicken. So it's a must add into the food to bring it back to them.
You can go either way. You can do the waterfowl chick food or you can supplement chick food.
So in the book, you definitely tell everybody, look, you're going to need these supplements because chicks have a little bit of different requirements. So that's a good thing to check out. And I love the fact that you have the book on ducks because it's something that you can always put in your hand. It's with you at all times. You can read it. You can get the information. So let's go into integration or taking them out of the brooder. What age do we do all of this?
I really do try to get the ducks out on grass sooner than later and where they are a lot more cold tolerant than the chicks are. You know, if you get them in the spring, depending on where you live, they probably can be outside on a nice sunny day. Those puppy playpens that a lot of people use as the brooders, I'll use that for outside time, just unzip the bottom.
Yeah.
So the ducks can actually be on the grass because eating the grass and the weeds and stuff is really good for them. They also do need the exercise because they do have a tendency to just get too heavy too fast. So the quicker you can get them outside on nice days, stay outside with them, obviously, because the puppy playpen is not predator proof. If they start like peeping and they look like they're cold, obviously bring them inside, but they can be out a lot sooner than the chickens can.
And then integration, do you wait until they're about comparable size to who they're going in with? Or is there more of an age limit that you're putting them in to integrate them with the rest of the flock?
Ducks are so different than chickens. They don't have this pecking order thing. Okay. I have added adult ducks. I have had ducks hatch ducklings and had that little duckling in with everybody else. I've had ducklings that I've gotten from the hatchery and had in the house for a couple of weeks, put them outside. The one thing you want to worry about is that if you have smaller ducks, younger ducks, and you do have a pool situation or deep waterers, you just want to be careful of that, especially if you have a drake and it's mating season, you know, there could be drowning accidents. So when I have the smaller ducks in the run, I don't give them a pool. I don't give them a deep tub of water. You know, I just make sure that they have it just deep enough to drink from. Just be conscious of that. I've never had problems with ducks. Like they actually welcome newcomers, unlike chickens who, you know, want to kill newcomers.
Excuse me, you're coming in here? I don't think so.
I don't know her. Let's kill her.
And the ducks and chickens, it's interesting. The chickens don't see the ducks as a threat to their pecking order. So I've never had a duck resent a chicken coming in. I was worried at first with the ducks because, you know, they have rounded bills, they have webbed feet, they're always smiling and they're happy. And I was thinking the chickens are going to make mincemeat out of these ducks. But I got to say, my money's on the ducks. They really do rule the roost. Pardon the pun, but they are in charge.
Nice. And I like that they're laid back with newcomers, where chickens, they look at you like, I'm going to peck you in the eye tomorrow. So they're out there, they're all together. And as you were talking about water, it's so important for the ducks to have water at all times. So what are some options for someone to add to the run for water features for them?
People ask me all the time about ducks and they want to get ducks, but they don't have a pond. And actually, I'm glad we don't have a pond, because a pond with ducks, it would be hard to get them off it at night. So they would be susceptible to predators. Domestic ducks can't fly, so they're even more vulnerable free-ranging than chickens are. They're super awkward on the ground. Plus, if you have a ton of ducks in a pond, it's just going to muck it all up. So a pond with ducks is not really optimal. They are perfectly happy with a kiddie pool. You know, I fill a kiddie pool for them out in the grass in the summer. And in their run, they just have big tubs of water that, yes, they do hop into. And yes, then the chickens have to drink out of it. The chickens learn really fast. And I think people need to remember, because I get comments all the time, like I'll take a video and, you know, it's duck water. It's dirty like 4 seconds after you fill it, because they go from the feed to the water, to the feed to the water, to the mud, to the water, whatever. You know, and people make comments say, don't you ever change your chicken's water? And then someone else will chime in saying, you obviously don't have ducks. I mean, if you are going to get ducks, you have to get over the fact that water needs to be crystal clear.
Right.
It needs to be fresh. I mean, I fill their water twice a day. It can't sit around and be stagnated, but the water is never going to be clean. I mean, crystal clean. And there's nothing wrong with chickens drinking out of water that has feed and mud in it. Have you ever watched your chickens? They splash.
Oh my God. I was just going to say, I go out there in the morning and I fill up water, and then some splashes next to the bowl, and they'd rather drink that than out of the bowl. I'm like, come on, people. You got to drink out of the bowl. But they don't want that. They want to drink out of the little puddle.
They drink out of puddles. They drink out of air conditioner runoff. I mean, you have to get over that fact. They're not people. And no, they don't need clean water every 4 seconds, because you'll make yourself crazy. That's just the way it is.
So we have people looking at ducks for a variety of reasons. And a lot of people are interested in keeping their own poultry now for food security. So tell us a little bit about the laying life of a duck. What's a good layer for a duck?
Ducks actually are better layers than chickens. Most of my ducks, you know, the first couple of years when they're young, they lay right through the winter without any light. They have not as great light requirements as chickens, so they will lay year round. They lay larger eggs. 2 duck eggs equals 3 chicken eggs. So even if you're not getting as many number wise, when you figure out the quantities, they lay about an egg every day like chickens do. They start laying about the same, you know, 18, 20, 22 weeks, something like that. But they'll generally lay pretty well until they're 5 or 6 years old. Whereas a chicken, you know, 3 to 4 years, she's going to start dropping off each year. Yeah. So the ducks are really good, consistent layers.
That sounds great.
And what we hear, they're richer than chicken eggs too, because the yolk is bigger, correct?
They do have a lot more fat. They have more cholesterol. They have a greater yolk to white ratio. So when you're baking, things are richer and rise better and all that.
Would you rather use your duck eggs to bake versus your chicken eggs?
Oh, absolutely. Once you start raising ducks, you're going to tend to just use your chicken eggs, like if you're breading cutlets or for an egg wash or something like that. A lot of people claim that, you know, the duck eggs are rubbery or they're hard to cook. They will get rubbery if you overcook them. But I think a lot of people overcook their eggs in general. When you're scrambling eggs, you should take them off the heat when they're still kind of shiny. They cook so fast that they're going to cook even from the pan to the plate. I think if you get in the habit of undercooking your eggs a little bit, then, I mean, we scramble duck eggs or use them in omelets or frittatas or whatever.
I love that. So what are some of your favorite recipes that you cook with the duck eggs?
I mean, I have pretty much everything. I've made some really wonderful deviled eggs, egg salad, and then, you know, things like souffles.
Deviled eggs with a duck egg would be so cool.
Dutch babies, I mean, anything, popovers, anything that you want to rise. And where the ratio is 3 to 2, I mean, I'll just try to use my smaller duck eggs and use them 1 for 1. But if you want to get really serious about it, you could whisk them all and then measure out 3 tablespoons for each egg, or you could weigh out 2 ounces or whatever.
And then they're pretty too. If you got the blue-green, do some of your girls lay that blue-green egg?
They do. And so another interesting thing about ducks, which I guess we should go back to, like they're in the run and coop with the chickens now, they sleep on the floor. So we use straw. It's super soft. They love it. It gives them a nice little bed. They make their own little nests in the straw, usually, you know, in the corner. So they don't need nesting boxes or roofs.
Nice.
So if you don't have chickens, it's really easy to convert even a doghouse, a playhouse, a shed, because they just really need somewhere to be safe. They need ventilation, but they don't need all those other fancy things chickens need.
So really, if you wanted to build your own duck house, it would be a lot easier than building a chicken coop. Mm-hmm.
And it would be lower mm-hmm. to the ground because you have to make accommodations. You don't want something high. You want something that's low to the ground with a ramp so that they could walk up.
They don't do well on ramps. I actually had to put railings on the ramp of our old coop because the ducks kept like toppling over the side.
Oh, man, but that would be so cute with the little railing on.
I was also going to say that the ducks, because they are pretty sneaky, after they lay their eggs, they cover them up with the straw. So when you do have them laying through the winter, I don't know that I've ever collected a frozen duck egg.
Oh, okay.
How about that? Wow.
There are a lot of cool facts about ducks that are different than chickens. Yeah, more than I even anticipated.
This is fascinating.
Yeah.
So, do ducks have crops?
I think they call it a gizzard. I mean, they don't get the lump. They poop all the time. So I kind of feel like they eat and poop. Like, I don't think they store up. They do need the grit because they don't have teeth. So they still do need grit to digest what they're eating, like chickens do. They also don't tend to get egg bound. They are in the water so much. A couple of times I've found eggs in the pool. And I think that, you know, if they sense that they're trying to lay an egg and having trouble, they just jump in the pool and work it out. They're not susceptible to things like coccidiosis or Newcastle, some of the things that chickens can get. They also can be carriers of avian flu, but they don't necessarily succumb to it. I think ducks one day will just take over the world. They're super hardy. They have a really fast metabolism and high body temperature, which makes it not really conducive to bacteria growing and things like that.
It sounds like in the beginning, you're going to be doing a little bit more work. You're going to be making different accommodations, but they might be a little easier going than the chicken somewhat.
They're super low maintenance. Yeah, I think once you have the adult ducks, they are so much easier. As long as they have water, they're fine. I throw peas in their water or spinach or whatever. They're super happy with that. I always feel like our chickens are bored and I'm disappointing them, or it's raining or it's snowing or it's too hot or it's too cold, or I've added a new chicken and there's always something wrong in the chicken world. And the ducks are just always so happy. Like, they're just so easy to make happy.
So here's another question. Do they have the huggable factor? Now, we wouldn't be the chicken ladies unless we asked.
I mean, as ducklings, obviously, they're just crazy. But as they get older, they don't necessarily like to be picked up because they can't fly. So they're used to being ground level. But if you sit on the ground, you can snuggle with them and they'll put their bill on your shoulder or to put it like up in your hair. But generally, when you pick them up, they act like they're going to be murdered. The ducks are just very suspicious characters.
It's a sit hug. Like, you cannot be picking them up walking around the yard. So
no, they definitely do not like to be picked up and walked around with because they're not used to being off the ground. You know, they don't roost like the chicken. So they live their life on the ground and that's where they're comfortable.
I could see that too. That would be scary for them. You know, they're like, I don't know how I'm going to get down.
What about foot and leg problems? Are they subject to any of the same things that chickens can get?
They can get bumblefoot. So you do want to keep an eye out for that. You know, the black scab on the underneath of their foot. So you have to be careful that they're not walking on sharp stones or sharp pine cones or things like that. One thing that is pretty common in ducks is hardware disease, which basically they've eaten a washer or a screw or a piece of wire or, you know, like a heavy metal. And that can actually be fatal. So it's really important if you're having construction done or you're, you know, doing any of that, that you pick up all the little pieces of metal because they're shiny. They look like bugs. They want to eat them. So that's something to be careful of. They can also get botulism if you don't change their water, if you let their water sit around, or if the feed gets moldy, something like that. So it's important to make sure that they have fresh feed. They do go feed to water. So generally, you want to toss the feed at the end of the day because it's going to be wet. And absolutely never, ever feed and water inside their house, like ever. We live in Maine and our ducks eat outside year-round. There is no way I would put water in a coop. Yeah.
It's night. They don't really need anything.
No, everyone thinks they're kind of like us and that they might want to get a midnight snack and they don't. They're sleeping so that they're ready for the next day.
Ducks actually are a little more nocturnal. You know, ours, we have like 1,000% predator-proof run. So I leave the little door open and they can sleep outside if they want to. So unless it's like 20 below, the ducks usually are outside, and I'll wake up in the middle of the night and hear them like having their little duck parties.
Oh, so they're not,
and they nap a lot during the day. So I think the chickens are actually glad that the ducks are outside at night, because they're a little more nocturnal than the chickens, but they absolutely don't need food and water in the coop.
That's what I was going to ask about the run setup. So are they comfortable in an enclosure, a run setup where you give them enough space? Because we know free ranging isn't safe unless it's supervised 100%, you know? So are they pretty comfortable in that run setup?
Absolutely. I mean, really all they need is a tub of water, and they just sit around that tub. I have a little doghouse in the run, and I'll put straw in it. And that's their little clubhouse. And, you know, they guard it against the chickens because they don't want the chickens in the clubhouse. But, you know, I just put like water outside for them. Even when I free range them, the ducks just run to their pool and sit by their pool all day. And the chickens are like in the woods and down the driveway and in the garden and whatever. And the ducks are just sitting around their pool. All they really want is water. You have to be careful, though, because ducks like to sleep against the run. So you absolutely have to use half-inch welded wire.
Yes.
Because if you use anything else, a raccoon will
just grab
reach through. Someone told me a bobcat reached through. They had seen on TikTok or whatever to use the 2-inch by 4-inch wire for their run.
Oh my goodness, a bobcat
reached right in, was pulling their ducks right out of the run. So
can't even use that 2x4 for bantams. I lost one bantam and that was all it took. Hardware cloth all around. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, weasels, anything, 2x4 is insane. I wouldn't even use 2-inch. I use half inch on the bottom 3 feet. And then I do use 1-inch on the top 3 feet, just because the half inch is so impossible to cut and work with. You know, I don't want rodents or snakes or anything. And things will reach in and try to get your ducks. Yeah, the half inch, at least the bottom couple feet, is really important.
So ducks are omnivorous, just like chickens. They're not herbivores strictly like geese, are they?
No, they will eat mealworms and they'll eat earthworms. Okay. And they'll eat some bugs. But like if I give the chickens and ducks, you know, since they are together, I just throw all the, you know, kitchen scraps in. They won't necessarily eat like sandwich meat or like turkey or meatloaf. They don't really seem to go for the meat type stuff. They really just want to eat green stuff, the broccoli and the Brussels sprouts and the spinach and the peas. Ducks have a really good diet and a sense of what they should be eating. Chickens will eat, like if you throw them out donuts every day, they would eat it. All the junk food, like if we go out to dinner or whatever, and I throw a cheeseburger and, you know, some dessert, whatever in there, the ducks are picking through for the salad and the chickens are eating like all the carbs and all the bad stuff.
Yeah. And it's like, please control that temptation to give your ducks bread. And the reason why you don't is it's not nutritious for them.
They will eat bread, but I do have to say it, the chickens will eat the bread too. I mean, it kind of works out well because I pretty much give them everything, all the leftovers, ends, trimmings, whatever. And between the chickens and the ducks, they pretty much do eat everything. So it's kind of a nice balance, but look, I'm not saying that I don't give the chickens and ducks the end of a loaf of bread or
I do the same.
But as a regular treat, definitely not.
Everyone wants to give ducks bread. I just don't even know where that has come from, but it's not nutritious for them.
Yeah, it's bad at the local pond where people unfortunately do dump domestic ducks too that can't migrate and can't fly away. But yeah, they'll throw bread in the water, which then just becomes waterlogged. And so instead, if you're going to go to your local pond and visit the ducks with your kids, bring them a bag of frozen peas or frozen corn. I mean, it can be defrosted, but things like that are so much more nutritious for them.
So you've chosen your ducks, you've gotten them through the brooding stage, you've built your duck house. Like Chrissy pointed out, it can be really dangerous to just let your ducks out the free range. So you're the type of person who wants to have a beautiful run, and it sounds like that really works well for ducks. What's the best substrate for ongoing maintenance in a run with ducks?
I just have the dirt. It's grass when you build your run, and then in about 2 days, it's dirt, and then it's dirt until eternity. People haul in sand or river rocks or all this other stuff, and I don't really see the point. It just seems like a lot of work and expense. I think it's important to, if you can, build your run on slightly sloped land so it will drain. I'm not a big fan of a completely covered run. I know a lot of people will cover it in a solid, like it should be covered in wire. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will cover it completely in solid, but sunlight is a really great killer of pretty much everything. So you really want those UV rays to get into your run to kill any of the pathogens or anything that's living in there to dry it out. So I'm more in favor of a wire top, which means when it rains or snows, it's going to get wet, but it dries out. I mean, we have mud season here and the ducks love it. The ducks love mud. They don't care.
Well, here in Maryland, mud season is probably 6 months of the year.
Oh, man, it's bad.
The muddy mid-Atlantic, it gets that name for a reason. But it sounds like unless your substrate is so messy that your chickens can't navigate it, it's fine for ducks.
It is. I have pallets, you know, you can get pallets, you know, like behind your feed store or whatever. So I have pallets that I put their food and water up on. I do have part of my run covered. That's where their dust bath is, their food, their water. And if I put it up on pallets, it keeps it a little cleaner. So it's not right in the mud. So, you know, that can help. And I do have benches and swings in the run, mostly for the chickens, because they like to get up, you know, out of the mud. So I think that's a better solution than trying to haul in all this stuff that eventually is just going to sink right into the mud anyway.
Yep, it breaks down. It does.
The next question I wanted to ask has to deal with mixing the two. So do you see any problems with mixing chickens and ducks together in a mixed flock and living together?
No. I mean, ours have been together for 14 years, and I'm sure if the chickens disappeared tomorrow, the ducks would not miss them in the least. And probably vice versa, but they don't bother each other. They just kind of do their own thing. And I do think they kind of complement each other really well.
I have seen some things or read some articles where sometimes the drakes can hurt the hens if they try to mate them. Have you seen any of that happening or no? Or is that
No, it's ridiculous. We have had a drake. One of our very first ducks was a drake, Gregory. We had him for 12 years. So we've always had a drake. We have had a rooster off and on. We had two drakes for a lot of years because one of our baby ducklings was supposed to be a girl and was a boy. So I had to separate Gregory and Bad Boy every spring for a couple of years because they would fight. But no, I have never, ever seen one of our drakes bother a chicken. I mean, the ducks like to run around and like goose the chickens. You know, they'll do that. But as far as full-on mating a drake with a chicken, if that is happening, you don't have enough girl ducks. I mean, that's not even a thing. Like, animals are not like that. I can't even conceive of that happening. And I have a feeling that's just like an urban myth that someone's like, well, I heard.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
It's not even a thing.
Okay, so we probably have plenty of listeners who are already making their duck list right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because as we said before we even started the interview, a lot of people are having trouble getting chicks this season. Mm-hmm. Chicks are selling out at record speeds.
One of our local places put their list on Facebook the other day, and I had to text Holly Ann because I'm like, 2 hours are sold out, and they were gone. 15 to 20 breeds delivered in 2 hours sold out. So this is an alternative. If you can't get chicks, you're going to get yummy eggs that you can eat, and baking will be even better.
And there are wonderful heritage breeds to choose from. So before we let Lisa go, we're going to ask her about some of the more interesting myths about duck keeping. What information do you see spreading that's just like an urban myth about ducks?
I think the one that we talked about is that, you know, if you have a drake, he's going to try to mate with your chickens. I mean, again, you don't have to have a drake to get the eggs. So if you're worried about that, just have the girls. I think another myth is that they need a pond, which, you know, is definitely not true. And as I mentioned before, I think it actually would be a deterrent for me because it would just be so difficult to get them off of it. Yeah, I guess that's about it, is that you can't raise chickens and ducks together, which is not true. A lot of times when I'll post an article about ducks or, you know, encourage people to raise ducks, they'll say, oh, they're so dirty. They're just like the messiest animals ever. And to me, our ducks are always super clean. Even our white pecans could play in the mud all day. And next thing you know, they're super white again. They're very clean. They're always preening. They're much cleaner than the chickens, but they make a water mess. So you just have to be aware of controlling their environment to keep the water where you want it instead of where they want it to be.
Now, if I had a pond and ducks, I wouldn't be sleeping at night. I'd be out there with a flashlight. Are they okay? Like, I couldn't rest knowing that my beloved backyard pets were on a pond.
Fox can swim. Dogs can swim. So they absolutely are not safe on a pond. Definitely not. Even on one of those cute little houses that they float in the pond, things can swim out and get them. So, yeah, they have to be locked up just like chickens.
The other thing we want to talk about is, for our listeners who are right now writing all these little things down, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Where are they going to get these ducklings? And the first one we want to mention is McMurry definitely does have a line of ducks.
Right.
And the other huge place is Metzer Farms.
Yes.
Right.
And they're located on the West Coast, correct?
They are, but they just opened a facility. I don't know if it's in Texas, but it's somewhere more towards the middle of the country. So it'll be easier shipped to the East Coast. I have gotten ducks from Metzer. No matter where you get your ducklings, because a lot of the feed stores are starting to sell them as well. the Metzer site is a great resource. They have a great breed directory. They have a lot of great information about the different breeds. Also, the Livestock Conservancy site is a really great resource to read some of the histories. The Saxony in particular has a really great history going back to World War II and prior. So it's kind of interesting to read about the different breeds and how they developed. The Khaki Campbell, again, has another kind of wartime history that's kind of fun. Yeah.
I've been on the Metzer site. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. When I was doing all the research for ducks, it was hard. I have to try to talk my husband into ducks. He's kind of like, no, we're just stopping with the chickens. And I'm like, oh, come on.
Ducklings are so cute, though. I mean, baby chicks are cute. Adorable. But once you raise ducklings and those little feet,
oh, man.
Just racing up and down.
Well, if you're looking for Lisa's book, it is very easy to find. You can go straight to Amazon, Duck Eggs Daily. We will have it linked in our show notes. It's really a fantastic reference. If you're on the fence about ducks, get it and read through. It'll probably convince you.
There are some differences, but they're good differences. Yes, you can raise your ducks and your chickens together. Don't be afraid of that aspect of it. They will need some different accommodations. So that's why the book comes in handy. You can get it, check it out. And Lisa, again, thank you so much for coming on and shedding some light. This was pretty fascinating to learn all the differences, more than I even knew about.
Yep. Oh, you know, so glad.
It's been fun chatting ducks.
Of course.
Do you have anything duck related on your show that you want to mention?
There are a couple episodes we talked about ducks, but more so on my blog, there's a whole topic tab for ducks. Okay. So there's more information there too.
So if you're looking for more information besides this episode and Lisa's book, you can head over to her blog, FreshEggsDaily.com. There's a whole tab for duck information. So Lisa, thank you again for just a fascinating conversation. I'm sure you're going to have lots of people heading out to look for ducklings this season. We'll look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. We just want to thank Lisa one more time for spending a really fantastic hour chatting ducks with us. So much valuable information. I have links to all of Lisa's contact in our show notes, but you can check her out on FreshEggsDaily.com. You can find links to her books in our show notes or on our Amazon storefront.
Exactly.
And don't forget to check out her TV show, My Maine Farm, on your local PBS station.
Okay, so let's move on to
cracking the eggs.
Cracking those eggs. This week, we're keeping it rolling. It's all about ducks.
Ducks and more
all
ducks.
All the time. And since we had Lisa on the show to tell us all about ducks, in her book, she actually gives some recipes.
Right. There are recipes in Duck Eggs Daily. And if you're looking for Duck Eggs Daily, it was printed in 2015. You can still get it easily enough. She very generously shared this recipe for us, and it actually looks fantastic. It is
deviled duck eggs.
Yeah.
So they're a bigger egg. So maybe Joe won't go through like a dozen and a half.
Well, she does something really clever in the recipe. She notes that, you know how you cut a hard-boiled egg lengthwise?
Yeah.
She cuts them in half short ways.
Right.
Because it forms a deeper cup for all that yolk.
Exactly. It's great. So we're going to go over her recipe. So let's go.
So we start with 6 duck eggs. You can obviously double this if you want to.
Remember last time we did chicken duck eggs and we were like, 12? Who eats just 12? We need 24.
24. 48.
But the duck eggs are like triple the size of the chicken
eggs. They are.
So we're going to stick with 6.
If you look in the book at this recipe, the photo, oh, it's mouthwatering. It looks so good.
And if you follow us over on social media, you're going to see that we're going to be having a special giveaway this week too.
Yes. So 6 duck eggs, you want about a third of a cup of mayonnaise, and you want a tablespoon of champagne vinegar.
I saw that on here. I was like, oh, nice addition. Yeah.
You want 2 tablespoons of chopped fresh parsley. I would say probably whatever herbs you like in
here.
Yeah,
exactly.
A pinch of sugar, a bit of salt, and some white pepper. Now, Lisa steams her eggs. She doesn't necessarily hard boil them.
Okay.
You can do it either way. You can also steam your eggs very easily in an Instant Pot if you have one.
Yeah, they have an insert that you buy that where you sit the eggs.
Mine came with it.
Mine did not come with it.
I think mine's a later generation than yours.
I think so. And I haven't tried it yet, my Instant Pot. I just boiled like 40 eggs today.
Oh my goodness.
On the stovetop. I did 2 different cycles. So I just throw it on the stovetop.
The beauty of steaming them in the Instant Pot is that they peel very easily.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. And this is like the usual deviled egg. You know, you slice the egg, you take the yolks out, you mash them together with all the yummy ingredients. And then she very cleverly uses an ice cream scoop.
That's a good idea.
It probably looks pretty. Mine probably look a little messy because I just spooned
it
in
there. Or, you know what you could use too for a chicken egg? You could use a watermelon baller.
A melon baller, yeah.
It's a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
Yep. And obviously, you're going to refrigerate these because they're eggs.
This is a great hostess recipe to take to somebody's house. Happy hour. It's perfect.
You can make it look really pretty. You know, this is time to break out those vintage egg plates.
Remember when we were at the thrift store?
Yeah.
We need to have a happy hour, make the duck deviled eggs because we have all the goose glasses.
Oh, yeah, we did.
I think we have some mallard, too, for happy hour.
It's vintage waterfowl glasses. They're wild waterfowl glasses, but they're really cool.
They're cool. We need a happy hour.
We'll do some deviled duck eggs and drinks in our vintage waterfowl glasses.
That would be so cool.
That is fun.
The ingredients in here are so simple. Sometimes less is best with recipes. 5 ingredients or less.
Absolutely.
The real flavors come through.
You're only seasoning this enough to bring out the flavors of the egg.
It's champagne vinegar. And your herbs that you're using.
So mayonnaise.
It's really easy.
Yes.
And here's the thing. Entertaining with all this stuff, you can make a happy hour really fun.
Yeah.
Without a lot of pressure. You know, like the special glasses. Outside when it's going to be springtime with the duck deviled eggs, chicken deviled eggs, and some other stuff.
Deviled duck eggs.
Be really fun.
So good. The funny thing is when you crack a duck egg, the shell and membrane are very thick.
Oh, yeah.
You really have to whack them to break them.
So try this recipe. We're going to have it up, a link to the recipe.
Share your photos. Tag us, tag Lisa at Fresh Eggs Daily. We'd love to see them.
We would love to see you make this. Okay, so let's move on to retail therapy. Retail therapy.
Yeah.
This week's therapy, we're keeping the ball rolling with Ducks and Lisa Steele.
Lisa very generously sent each one of us a jar of her brewer's yeast.
And we love it.
It's really fantastic. It's yet another supplement that you can add to your flock's food that you'll see really nice results from.
The brewer's yeast supplement is a really good product. When you put ducks and chickens together, this is a necessity.
Right.
So this helps bring the food to a point where it's going to be good for both the chickens and the ducks.
Right. You either need to be feeding your young ducks waterfowl specific food, or you need to add this brewer's yeast in order to give them all the vitamins and minerals.
So here's the thing. She even puts it right on the bottle. The fun fact, ducks require almost twice as much niacin as chickens. Niacin is a vitamin that helps chicks and ducklings walk. Ducks can't eat just plain chicken food. You either have to add the supplement or go with a waterfowl grower or waterfowl food, or else your duck is not going to be able to walk. And that's the other thing that Dr. Rebecca talks about a lot of ducklings coming in with.
Yeah.
Is not getting enough niacin and being able to walk when they're little.
Right. So obviously I don't have ducks. So I was using this. You can just mix it all with your feed.
Yeah.
But what I did, because I scoop out my food in a certain mixture because my chickens are spoiled rotten.
Oh, yeah.
So every layer, I would do a scoop of the brewer's yeast so it was really distributed throughout the food.
I love her packaging because what it does is it explains so much to you why you're using this product and how to use it.
Right.
So she puts in here for supplemental feeding of chickens and ducks and their young, 1/2 teaspoon per cup of feed.
Right.
Or 1 cup per 40 pounds. Now, I tend to bring it with me and do 1/2 teaspoon per cup.
Right. That's what I'm doing.
And just mix it into the bowl right from there. That way, if you're mixing 1 cup and 40 pounds, you know how hard that's to mix.
Yes.
So sprinkling it as you go might be the way.
That was my preferred way. The chickens seem to really like it. It smells good. It has a lot of garlic in it and a lot of other beneficial things.
It's got a big dose of protein, some fat and fiber for them.
Yes.
You were saying their feathers are looking amazing.
Well, that was the thing. So it's good for bone growth and it's good for leg health, all of that sort of thing.
Yes.
I feel like my chickens are pretty good in that department.
Yeah.
So after 2 weeks of using it, the biggest benefit that I noticed is that their feathers look amazing, like glossy and gorgeous.
The thing I like about it is it's really ground.
It is.
And I feed a crumble. So when you mix it in that crumble, they're not even knowing they're getting it.
It's true.
And they're just getting all those benefits. Now, she does have other supplements out there for different things. But the one that we have is the brewer's yeast and has, like you said, the garlic in it. It's great.
Even if you feed waterfowl food, it's probably not a bad idea to keep some of this on hand in case, say, you can't get it and you have to feed your waterfowl chicken food. Then you have the niacin they need.
I think if you have ducks, you should always have this on hand.
Yeah, I agree.
No matter what. It's great for the chickens, too.
All in all, I was really impressed with it. I feel like we have this growing body of supplements that you can use for your flock, and I would not hesitate to put this right in there with the rest of them.
Exactly. it's preventative care that's going to cut down on you having to get medical care down the road.
Right.
Prevention, prevention.
Prevention is always the way to go if you can do it.
So try it. Let us know what you think. And thanks to Lisa once again.
Thank you, Lisa.
Okay, so should we tell everybody what we're going to be talking about next week?
Breed Spotlight, we are revisiting one of the most popular chickens ever, the Belgian Duclet.
They're so cute.
Main topic, we're talking to Forrest from My Pet Chicken, all about some of the exclusive breeds you can find there.
Oh yes, it's going to be a fun time.
It's a great conversation. Cracking the eggs, we're doing a spring crepe cake.
You won't want to miss this.
And retail therapy, we're taking a look at one of the things I use with my bantams, Brown's Encore Natural Poultry Grit.
Okay, so what should we tell everybody to do until next week?
Hug your chickens.
Every day and kiss them too. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you'd like to see more of us, please follow us on Instagram at Coffee with the Chicken Ladies. If you'd like to help us grow the podcast, please leave us a written review on Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to become a patron of the show, please visit our Patreon page, patreon.com/coffeewiththechickenladies. Thanks for listening. Ha 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 ha!